mindfulness mode?
Mindfulness is right in the middle. It's kind of the sweet spot in the middle.
Hey, Mindful Tribe, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm talking with a guest about how to enhance mental wellness. And we all want to enhance our mental wellness. I know we do, but he's created an app, which is very fascinating. It's an app called Take 2 Minutes. And he's done this through a nonprofit organization. And he's worked in IT for a long time. And so we're going to talk about how he got to this point of creating this app. But I think it's absolutely fascinating, all the things that can be done with this app. So I'm really excited to tell you, Mindful Tribe, that I'm here with Mark Fassell. Mark, are you in mindfulness mode today?
I am, absolutely. Thank you, Bruce. Yes.
Yeah, you're welcome. So what does mindfulness mean to you, first of all?
That's a good question. I think mindfulness is being in the present moment, being aware of the present moment, being aware of your thoughts, not judgmental of your thoughts, but not focusing too much on the past or too much on the future. Mm-hmm. I think we're all going to have ebbs and flows. We're worried about something upcoming or thinking of something in the past. But mindfulness to me is trying to focus most of your attention in the present moment, what's around you right now.
So Mark, have you been enthused about mindfulness for a long time, or is this a more recent thing? How long have you been involved?
That's a good question as well. I believe I started becoming aware of mindfulness probably about a decade ago, if not even like 2012. It's about when I started participating in yoga classes, and I think yoga helps with some mindfulness. You go, you know, meditation and yoga and what have you. And I think that is when I first became aware of the concept of trying to focus more on the present. So about 12 years ago, let's say.
Right. And then you got to the point where you decided to create an app yourself. Tell us about that journey. How did you get there?
That's a fun story. So there's a few things that led up to the creation of the app, and I'll take you through them. One is, I live in a small town, as you and I touched on, and I think I tried to, let's go back to like 2014, 2015. I was trying to make sure when I went into stores, what have you, I was very attentive to the people working there, very friendly to them. And I was told oftentimes that my presence coming into the store made the whole staff be in a better mood, a better mindset. And I was like, okay. And I found that interesting, that me walking in someplace with a smile on my face and being courteous to others could help them get into a different mindset and be more happy about their day, at least for a short amount of time. That fascinated me. In addition to that, my older son at the same time was in high school, and he was going through a little bit of troubles in high school, I would say. I don't want to necessarily label it as depression, but he was struggling a bit. Mm-hmm. And so my solution for him, not being a psychologist, was let's just every day around noon tell him that he's loved, let him know there is someone out there that cares about him. So I text him a message every day around noon. Mm-hmm. There was some kind of happy message. Well, if you recall from a few moments ago, I was doing yoga about the same time. And being I'm a developer by heart, I quickly realized that most of my really good positive thoughts were happening on the yoga mat at like 5 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. Yeah. 5:30 in the morning isn't a conducive time to text a 16-year-old about a positive thought.
No.
And so, yeah, right. So I made an application that allowed me, while on my yoga mat, to text my message to a phone number. It would take it and put it into a Google Doc, and then I would kind of round it out or polish it a bit, and then the app would send him a message out of the Google Doc.
Okay.
After he started receiving these, he appreciated them. A few other people in our community wanted to receive them as well. And I thought, no big deal. So I rounded the app a little bit more to make it where you could join the app and get the positive messages. And at some point in time, I had in my mind 12, 14 people getting my positive messages. And I was pretty thrilled with that. Didn't think much more about it. I was happy with where it was. One day I was in a local store. It's a juice store. And I was talking to the clerk, who also gets the messages about today's message or whatever they received that day. They were talking about how on point it was for their day. And while speaking with them, someone behind me in line stated, I get your messages too. And it was a complete stranger to me. Mm-hmm. And so I went back and looked at the application. I had about 300 people getting the positive messages.
Oh, wow.
I was a little floored by that. And then that's when I realized maybe I should do more with this. And at that point in time, I didn't know what the more was going to be just yet. And it took a couple paths until a good acquaintance of mine got me in touch with a psychologist out of Duke University who had a grant, a 10-year grant to study resilience and happiness in healthcare workers and students. And this psychologist happily shared a whole bunch of knowledge with me about activities, his studies, what he has shown to help people with getting into a happier mindset, and all kinds of data he shared. And we spent easily a dozen phone calls at 2 hours each talking about his studies and what he's learned. From there, I started building the application based upon a lot of the data he told me about what could help people with mental well-being. And in 2019-ish, we launched Take 2 Minutes, and we launched it as a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really exciting. That must have been pretty exciting when you released that app as the nonprofit thing.
It was, yeah. It's a big step. It was a first venture for me into the area of nonprofit. My co-founder and I talked about it. We decided we wanted to make it a nonprofit because we wanted people to recognize we're not trying to profit off of someone else's difficulties or depression. We wanted to make mm-hmm. it as available to people as we can.
So tell me about the specific individual goals of the app. And I know because I have some of them here in front of me, but you tell me.
Sure. I think one of the biggest differentiators in the app I developed is it uses text messaging to communicate with the users. Mm-hmm. This is different than app notifications, and it's very purposeful. So when I was developing the app, I listened to a lot of podcasts by competitors, and I realized that a lot of competitors were struggling with their app because people would download the app and then forget about it. They wouldn't use the app. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, the creators of the app couldn't reach those people because people don't always respond to app notifications. Upon further research, I learned that 92% of text messages are read within 3 minutes, whereas app notifications only have a 24% read rate. That pointed me to, if you really want to help people and you really want to get in touch with the people who need help, texting is probably the best way to do it. Now, with that said, though, texting comes at a cost, right? An app notification, I can send out those all day long at no cost, whereas text messaging does have a cost. So every time I send out a message or every time someone sends a message back to the system, because it is a full chatbot, it does cost Take 2 minutes money. Thus, it's not a free service. There is a subscription price to join it. But I do believe still yet with using texting or SMS, I'm able to really reach the people who need assistance.
Yeah, that's really cool. Tell us how you have integrated the idea of journaling into the app.
Right. I love this question because I think it's in a few different areas of journaling. So when I talk to a lot of therapists, and I've talked to dozens of therapists and counselors over the years, I heard many, many times that they tell their patients or clients to journal. Gratitude journal is huge for recognizing gratitude and getting yourself into a better mental state.
Yeah.
From those discussions, the next thing that almost all of them said is, but it's really hard to get people to put pen to paper these days,
yes.
Which makes sense. I know I started typing when I was probably 13 years old. And so I am a terrible writer, you know, as far as taking a pen and putting it towards paper, I type. So the text messaging also played a role here in allowing me or allowing the users to just simply text a gratitude statement back to the system. It then puts it into their journal for them. So there's a few ways of doing gratitude practice. One is you can set up a reminder every day. So if you set up a reminder every day, let's say for a morning, good morning's a good time to do gratitude journaling. Let's say when you first get up at 6 a.m., you want that prompt there waiting for you to enter your gratitude statement. You can set up a reminder every day at 6 a.m., you're gonna get that link, text message to you. You can click on the link. It takes you to a nice little form, and it's what's called the progressive web app, big word, but it really means it's an application that's really written for the phone, for a mobile device. And so you get a form that allows you to enter your gratitude statement, or you could just use the reminder, the text reminder, to send back a text message, and that is also your gratitude statement. Once you start gratitude journaling, the system then tries to nudge you to continue doing it. So if you gratitude journal at our previous example at 6 a.m., you're getting reminders at 6 a.m. It's going to keep reminding you to try to do it at 6 a.m. However, let's say one day at 2 p.m., you send another gratitude statement in. the next day at 2 p.m., it's going to send you a nudge. Hey, you sent a gratitude statement yesterday at this time. You want to try to do another one right now? So it's going to try to entice you to do more. Through the practice of using texting, ideally, it makes it very simple for users to send back a gratitude statement. The other thing I want to talk about with gratitude is I've learned from talking to users that a lot of users do struggle with recognizing gratitude in their daily lives. I've met quite a few people who want to do a gratitude practice, but when they sit down with their phone, or back to our old analogy, pen and paper, they have a blank mind. You know, what do I write about? So I developed what I call a gratitude challenge. The idea of the gratitude challenge is it's a kind of a precursor for a gratitude practice for people who need assistance thinking of reasons why they should be grateful. I often give the analogy that some people are writers and some people are better editors. If you're a writer, you can probably think of things to talk about easily or things to write for gratitude easily. If you're more of an editor, you need to be given a thought. From there, you can probably edit it and make a gratitude statement. So the gratitude challenge focuses on the latter, the editors, and it will every day send you a prompt of something for which you should be grateful. Obviously, that's a tricky subject because everyone's lives are vastly different, and the reasons why they should be grateful is vastly different. But again, it's trying to think of reasons why everyone should have some gratitude so you can get into that mindset, start priming your mind on gratitude. So one of the prompts, for instance, is the sun provides light and warmth to our planet. Think of a reason why you are grateful for the sun. So it's prompts like that to get you thinking about gratitude and ideally get you into a gratitude practice through a 10 or 14 day gratitude challenge.
Oh, very interesting. And I know this app can also help people with their sleep. Let's talk about that.
Correct. There's a few sleep exercises. One is just what I call sleep audio. There's many proven methods to help people fall asleep. Most of them are focused around breathing exercises. Some of them are mental exercises as well. We have taken all those and put them into an exercise where you can request it on demand. So again, going back to text, you can be laying in bed and text back, I need help sleeping. The system's going to take a random method for you and send you that method. If you learn you like a method, let's say you like the 4-7-8 breathing or the box breathing, there's many different methods. Let's say you like one of those. You can then text, I need help sleeping using box breathing. And it's going to send you back the box breathing exercise. With these breathing exercises or the mental exercises to fall asleep with, I've also added background audio to them as well. So you can overlay, or I guess it'd be almost underlay, the background audio into any breathing or mental exercise you'd like. So the next step would be, I want box breathing, help sleeping while having ocean waves as a background. System's going to send you just that. It's going to send you an audio track that has ocean waves in the background, calming ocean waves with the box breathing methodology. The way they work is there is in my mind, a wonderful voice. She's a wonderful lady named Marissa. She, I think, has a wonderful voice. I just said that. She has recorded all these, but the idea is she guides you through the breathing exercise or the mental exercise for about 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes, and then she fades out, and it's left with the background audio continuing for 45 minutes. And the idea is you continue doing the exercise on your own without her instructing you with that background audio, and it helps you fall asleep. And I think there are 8 different methodologies we have to help you fall asleep, along with at least 8 different background tracks you can overlay onto those. And
that's
again, each
cool.
Individual's going to like a different one. So I think sometimes it's trial and error to find the one that works the best for you.
That's very cool. And it doesn't end there, because if and when you fall asleep and then you dream, you have dream journaling. Tell us about that.
I like dream journaling. I'm an individual who dreams almost every night. And I know that's not for everybody. Everyone dreams, I understand, but not everyone recalls their dreams in the morning. So the dream journaling is similar to many of the exercises. You can set up a reminder. So personally, for me, my reminder comes at like 4:30 in the morning, because my wake up time is somewhere between 5 and 5:45. And the idea is I want that dream journal link right there when I wake up, so I can roll over, grab my phone, and start entering my dreams that I remember. But the dream journal is a more extensive form, meaning a gratitude statement is quite often, enter your gratitude statement and enter your feelings, your emotion, whereas a dream journal has many different prompts you can go through. The focus prompt is talk about your dream. Obviously, many people, it's easy to talk about their dream if they do remember it, and it's just remembering details about your dream and entering them into that form. But the form then also has other fields like, would you consider this a nightmare? Is this a reoccurring dream? Did it wake you up from your sleep? Did this dream happen in the daytime during like a nap, or was it a nighttime dream? So you can track all these different instances of a dream, and you can fill out the form as much as you want, but the top field is just tell me about your dream.
Oh, that's really cool. So Mark, what is the cost for this app?
The cost for the app is $9 per month. And it's more of a website. It's not an app at the app store. To sign up, you go to take2minutes.org and you enter your phone number. Again, since we're using text messages or text messaging to communicate with individuals, you do have to enter your phone number to become a member or a subscriber. And it's available right now to the US and Canada. So both those countries have access to this app. It uses the North American dialing plan for access. But you enter your phone number, it sends you back a code to verify you have that phone number in front of you. And once you enter the code, you are signed up.
Okay, take2minutes.org. Okay.
Correct, yeah.
And so are you planning to expand it so that it will work in other countries as well?
Yeah, there's definitely talks about that. We haven't marketed as well as I think we can in US and Canada just yet. So part of it right now, let's get a good stronghold in US and Canada and prove that people are wanting to use it and improve its abilities, and then look at expanding. A lot of countries use WhatsApp. That's obviously an easy way to expand up on that. We just have to then weigh the cost differences in using a communication method like WhatsApp over SMS. But yeah, at some point in time, I get a lot of requests from people in the UK to expand there. So I think that'd be the first place I'd probably look to expand to.
Right. Give me some feedback that you've received from some of your users.
The feedback is really the most wonderful part of it, Bruce. I think it's been in development for me for 6 years now, and it's been a passion project, definitely. I mean, it is a nonprofit. I've never made a dime off it. So it's been 10,000 hours of my time towards a project I've made no money off of. And because of that, it's truly a passion project. That passion project comes from the feedback I get from complete strangers. I've had a therapist call me one time with his wife on the phone and said my app helped his wife more than he was able to help his wife. Oh, wow. You know, that's heartwarming. It makes you feel good about what you're doing. I have messages, emails often, I would say weekly, about how it helps someone get into a better mental state, a more positive state. I think the app does a lot with positive psychology and what's called priming. The idea is helping you recognize things you should be grateful for, things around you that are positive, and that priming of your mind helps you recognize more things and get into a better state. But people, it's the feedback that I do receive from users that just keep me going and making me do more with it.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, I know it's nonprofit, but do you have a job as well, or is this your full-time work?
No, I have a job as well. This is this is a side project, if you will. A side project that takes about 30 to 40 hours a week is what it is.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, I'm also a CIO.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I see. Well, wow, that's interesting. Well, if you could add one feature to this app, which is not already there, what would it be?
I think there's still a lot to be done with the app. The app has been through many iterations of improvements and add-ons. I mean, the dream journaling was just added, I think, in early 2023 or 2022, late 2022. So that was a relatively new feature. I think that I still have a roadmap of things I want to do. The good thing is the app has been used by 30,000 people in US and Canada. It's proven, it works. I've gone through a couple of focus groups now. And the focus groups I find fascinating. The focus groups have been complete strangers who I offered 3 months of free service if they followed a path through the system. And to answer you, the answer to your question is coming, because one of the things I want to do is try to better align new users with this path. And what I found, the path I'm talking about, is when you sign up, one of the features you have access to is a modified differential emotional scale questionnaire, MDES questionnaire. It's a questionnaire that was originally created by Carol Izzard in the 70s, and it was modified by Barbara Fredrickson in the 90s. The idea behind it is it kind of ranks your positivity against your negativity using 20 questions that make you think about your emotions over the past week. So day one or day five, early on your journey of using Take 2 Minutes, if you take an MDES questionnaire, you'll get a score back of, again, your positivity against your negativity. After you take that initial MDES questionnaire, I found if users start a gratitude journaling practice, and that can be via the gratitude challenge or just gratitude journaling, and you start doing that for a solid 10 days, 15 days, after that 10 or 15 days and you're comfortable with the gratitude practice, you then begin a 3 good things exercise, which is also built into Take 2 Minutes, a 3 good things exercise. And the 3 good things exercise is also a 15-day exercise. So you continue your gratitude journaling and you add on the 3 good things. Gratitude journaling quite often is best done when you wake up. At least that's what most people find the best use of gratitude journaling is when they wake up. The 3 good things is more before you go to bed. So the 3 good things exercise is reflecting on the past day at the end of the day, and you're supposed to reflect on good things that happened. So a gratitude journal in the morning, put your mind into a positive state. 3 good things in the evening. The 3 good things still reflects on positive things throughout the day. 3 good things has been found that if you do it an hour and a half or within an hour and a half of going to bed, it helps your mind get into that positive state and your subconscious works on that positive state while you're asleep. And then you wake up in a better mood. And doing that for 15 days has great studies have shown great improvement in positivity just with 3 good things. But ultimately, doing the gratitude journaling and the 15-day challenge, the 3 good things challenge, 15 days, after 15 days of gratitude journaling, a lot of 15s in there. Of my 2 focus groups, the first focus group had a 191% improvement in positivity on the second MDS challenge, which is only 35 days into the program. So 35 days later, that 191% improvement in positivity. The second focus group had 141% improvement in positivity after just 35 days of doing those 2 exercises.
Wow. Now, I'm just curious, can this app help someone who's suffering from grief?
So grief is a topic that's been talked about. You mentioned you've seen some of my interviews and video on my website. Grief is an interesting topic because grief is something that it's not so much getting over grief. It's learning how to live with grief. And so I do believe these activities can help you learn to live with grief by, again, maybe it's recognizing gratitude that you have after the loss. But grief is something that's going to take everyone a different amount of time to get over. And again, I shouldn't say get over because you're not getting over it. You're learning to live with it more than you are getting over it. But I do believe activities, meditations, I mean, Take 2 Minutes has 380 meditations built into it, and different voices, different meditation methodologies. We have story-based meditations, and we have breathing exercises. We have guided meditations. I think meditations are something that can help you get back into a mindfulness mode, right? So you get into the present mode and ideally calm you a little bit if you are suffering through grief. So I do believe there are exercises that can help you. To say there's one exercise that's going to assist everyone, I'm not sure if that's the answer, though.
Right, right. So I'm curious, do you meditate yourself? Is that part of your daily routine?
Yes, I do. I very much enjoy meditation. And I think there's different ways for people to meditate. This goes back to almost anything we're doing. There's no one thing that fits everybody. There's no one thing that's for everyone. Anything. And so with meditating, I think you would agree that there's different ways of doing it. And I know myself, I've been doing it for 12 years-ish. Even how I meditate has changed over the years. These days, it's really kind of sitting almost anywhere and trying to calm my mind, close my eyes, go through a short breathing exercise, and trying to recognize the thoughts I'm having, sometimes letting go of those thoughts. Sometimes it's more focusing on breathing to help calm. But there are different ways you can meditate. And I do think meditation is very important. And it's one of those things where take 2 minutes again. We'll try to help you with meditation depending on how busy you are. Because, you know, many people will say, I don't have time to meditate. I'm too busy.
Yeah, we hear
I would actually say, that's something we're all going to hear, right? I would actually say taking the time to meditate will help you get into a better state to tackle what you have to tackle that makes you so busy, because you'll be more focused on those tasks. And sometimes it just takes a 5 minute meditation. And going back to texting, you can text, I have 2 minutes for meditation. Send me a 2 minute meditation. The system's going to pick a 2 minute meditation and send you that meditation. So you can ask for the duration you want as well.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, I'm very curious, Mark. I'm really curious. How's your son doing now?
Oh, he's doing great. I appreciate asking very much. Actually, my son is helping with Take 2 Minutes now. Okay. He is helping with marketing and helping ideally get more users to use the system. He's in a great place right now. He's a wonderful, wonderful young man. He's in his late 20s now. We get along great. And I think he actually enjoys Take 2 Minutes, one, for being a user of it, but two, also helping market it and help it other people recognize the value of how it can help them.
Oh, that's really cool. And does he work on the tech side of it as well?
He's more helping with marketing and video editing. Obviously, as I have discussions with therapists and counselors, he helps edit the videos. He's an audio person, audio and visual person. So he really likes to work in Logic and Final Cut to help edit videos and improve the audio of the videos. So I guess that's the tech side and marketing, but not tech as far as the development of the code.
Right. That's really interesting. That's cool. Well, as we move forward in the interview, I want to ask you a question about the topic of bullying, because I've worked in that field for a long time. And I'm curious to know if you have a story that you can share with us about bullying and how mindfulness maybe would have made a difference.
I don't know if I have any exact stories of bullying. And I was trying to think about that, because I did read that you have a lot of experience in bullying, which interests me. I have a good acquaintance of mine who wrote a book about bullying. Oh. And it's one of the books back over here, actually.
Okay.
Bully Proof. Okay. And so I you know, bullying is a huge problem in schools.
Yes.
And it always has been, probably even when I was a kid. I think mindfulness can help with bullying. And again, I can't speak out of experience. I'd be really interested to hear your answer. But real quickly before I hear your answer, my thoughts are, I think it can help with emotional regulation. I think if you get bullied, you know, you have a fight or flight reactive response in you. And I think how you react could make it better or worse through emotional regulation. I think with mindfulness, you also are a little bit more self-regulated. You're aware of your surroundings and aware of situations. Situational awareness can help with keeping yourself out of situations for which you could get bullied.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I was a teacher. And when my son was born, I thought, gosh, I sure hope that he doesn't get bullied, because of course I saw some of this nasty stuff happen in schools and so on. And so when he was quite young, I decided that I wanted to really delve into this field and understand it and do anything I could in case he got to the point where, you know, maybe he was potentially being bullied. I thought I want to help him so he'll know what to do and how to deal with it. And so I did a lot of research and a lot of work in it, and then eventually started doing all kinds of speaking on the topic and so on. But when he was about 7 years old, he came to me one day and he said, Dad, I just want to tell you something. And I said, what? He says, you don't have to worry. He said, I'll never be bullied. And I said, well, what do you mean? How do you know that? He says, well, because I'll never react. Doesn't matter what somebody says, I'm just not going to react to it. And so I don't have to worry. So I just wanted to tell you that. And I thought that was really insightful and really interesting that he told me that at such a young age.
Right. So how does mindfulness help with bullying?
So mindfulness can really help, because you can be truly focused on your mindset and realize what he told me, realize that, you know, if you don't react to something, there's very little chance that it will expand and blow into a bullying situation. So a lot of it is about reacting. A lot of it is about how you react internally as well, not just externally. And so if we can just keep our mindset intact and keep, like you've talked about, keep positive thoughts, have positive ideas going through our minds, then we don't even think of that negative side, which is what turns into us feeling as though we're being bullied, because a lot of us are bullied by our own thoughts. And, I know that you know that. And so mindfulness can really help with all of those things, because it keeps us focused on, number one, what are our thoughts? What's happening in there? And number two, if there are negative things going on, let's do something about it. Let's turn them into positive thoughts, which is essentially what your app does.
Exactly. Well said as well. And I think you hit the nail on the head, at least for me, with the negative thoughts. I think a lot of people, one of the messages that take 2 minutes, on above everything else, take 2 minutes, will send you a positive message every day if you're a subscriber. I know we have a lot of messages around words have meaning, and the words meaning how you talk to yourself, how you think about yourself in your head makes a difference about how you feel about yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I take my hat off to you, Mark, for doing this, because this is something that can really, really impact hundreds and thousands of people and potentially millions of people. And you may never hear a lot of feedback as to how much it does help people, but you will know that it really will make a huge positive difference. So way to go for creating this.
I appreciate that. And for parents, I want to touch on parents since we're talking about kids and bullying. I've had a lot of parents, and this is the saddest thing for me. This is one of the hard parts, is I do get parents who talk about their children or acquaintance of their children and, you know, possible suicide, thoughts of suicide. Yeah. And a feature of Take 2 Minutes is, I call it the groups functionality, and it has so many use cases. But for parents, there is the ability for the parent to sign up for an account and buy an account for their children, or what we call a family account. With their children, they can then give their children access to Take 2 Minutes. And we have a whole curated set of messages for kids between 12 and 17. So in that age range, we have a whole set of messages. So they can even get positive messages more directed towards them. But more importantly, the parent can then encourage their kids to do things like gratitude journaling. They can encourage their kids to do things like meditation. They can encourage the activities, even like grounding exercises I have built into it. They can encourage those things. With the group functionality, the parents can actually see what activities the children are partaking in. Now, the important thing is the parents still can't see the gratitude journal entries. Gratitude journal entries, three good things entries, data you're entering is your private data. It can't be seen by anybody. It's actually separated in the database from even the individual's account. So it's not data anyone sees. It's private to them. But what I tell parents is you can't see the data they're entering. You can't see what they're saying. But a couple things. One, you can see they're doing the exercises. You can see they're actually partaking and putting an effort towards it. And two, it gives you talking points. You can say, hey, I saw your gratitude journal last night. Do you care to talk about anything you said? Anything we can discuss from that? And it gives you talking points based on what the children are doing in the system.
Wow, that is fantastic. There are so many functions to this app. I'm very impressed. Mark, as we move forward in the interview, I want to ask you 5 quick answer questions. So just 30-second answers are perfect. The first one is this. Who is one person who has been a powerful influence for you in this space of mindfulness?
One person is someone you've actually interviewed in the past, Matt Zeman. Matt Zeman is... he does a lot with psychedelics now and getting people to use psychedelics for mental well-being. But Matt and I are good acquaintances, I would say friends. I hope he would assume that's a good statement. We're friends and we talk frequently. And I think he's helped keeping me going with this Take 2 Minutes at times. When I do struggle with things, I reach out to him, we have a discussion, and I keep moving forward. So he's been a big influence.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, and my second question is about emotions. How has mindfulness helped you deal with your emotions differently?
Emotions are a funny thing. We all have ebbs and flows. I definitely have my highs and lows still. I think with mindfulness, it has made me more aware of when I'm having a low or when I have a little bit of overwhelming thoughts or even depression, because it's going to happen with life situations. My mindfulness practice has helped me recognize that and get me into a better mindset more quickly. So instead of dwelling on it for days or weeks, I'm able to recognize it quickly. Doesn't mean I'm going to get over it instantly, depending on what the situation was, but mindfulness helps me get back into that positive mind state more rapidly.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you've touched on breathing already. I want to ask you another question about breathing, and if you have any special techniques that work for you that you would recommend, if you have any thoughts on breathing that you can sum up for us.
I really enjoyed box breathing, and I almost have modified it to be more of a triangle breathing. But the idea is I will breathe in for a count of, let's say, four. I'll hold it for a count of four. I'll exhale for a count of four. And that is, you know, just doing that for a repetition of 20 times can be a form of meditation. And I do think that helps in so many different areas. So when I have a little bit of an anxiety, feeling of anxiety, doing some of the box breathing, or again, my modified more of a triangle breathing, close my eyes, focus on the breath, recognize thoughts that come into your head, try to let those thoughts go and focus, refocus on the breath. And I think counting helps you focus on the breath. So again, eyes are closed, breathing in for a count of four and counting in your head, the one, two, three, four, holding for that count and then exhaling for that count can help, you know, calm a little bit and get you more centered and focused on what you need to be focused on, which is again, present moment.
Yeah, for sure. Any books you recommend that are related to this topic?
One of the therapists, he's a counselor, I should say, that I speak with regularly. He wrote a book that really resonated well with me. It is Master of Circumstance. His name is Jamie Morgan. I thought it was a wonderful book, largely because it aligns very much with everything Take 2 Minutes is doing. And it helps people recognize that they can think of themselves as a victim, but they should really, instead of being a victim of circumstance, you're being a master of the circumstance. So we all have things in life maybe we wish we'd have done differently. I think more than just an example of this, I think more than thinking back of, oh, I wish I would have done that differently, I look at it as, oh, that was a learning experience for me. I'm better now because of what I learned about that. And I think the book talks about a lot of topics that are similar to that.
Well, the Take 2 Minutes app is fantastic. I highly recommend it. Are there any other apps that you would suggest?
I've used competitors' apps, for lack of better terms, that I do like for meditation. I mean, obviously, Headspace is doing a great job with meditations. They've got the voices on there are wonderful. I have to give hats off to them for what they've done in that field of meditation. I'm just hoping, you know, Take 2 Minutes can be a good competitor for the other bigger companies out there and give people another option with more activities. Take 2 Minutes does have more features and functionality. 3 Good Things is a good example. The 3 Good Things exercise is an amazing exercise that really helps people recognize positivity every day. And it's been shown in studies to have a more positive effect on your mental well-being than even SSRIs, from the studies of Dr. Brian Sexton, who helped me recognize what 3 Good Things is.
Right. Yeah, I'm very impressed. I do want to mention that people can make use of the app for free for a few days. Isn't that right?
That is correct. All of the app always comes with 15-day free trial. So when you sign up, you're given 15 days to it's a open, everything's available to you for 15 days. And during that 15 days, you can decide if you want to continue or not continue. But yeah, everyone gets 15 days of free usage.
That's really good. Well, as we wrap up the interview, Mark, do you have any final words of advice you'd like to share with our Mindful Tribe listeners?
I can think of a few things, and we can reflect on things I've kind of already said, but I think priming in the mind is important to recognize positivity. I think, you know, the mindfulness we touched when we first started this, you asked me what I thought mindfulness is. I think a lot of people do get caught up in the past, which in a negative sense can be depression. If you focus too much on the future and what's coming up, that can give anxiety. Mindfulness is right in the middle. It's kind of the sweet spot in the middle that helps you not have depression, not have anxiety, and think more of what is around you right now. And I think through Take 2 Minutes and recognizing positivity, that can help you focus more on the present and not dwell on the past. And I also say when people dwell on the past, again, I think we all make mistakes. And I think instead of dwelling on what you should have done differently, think of it as that was a learning experience. What have I learned from that? And how can I better myself because of what happened? And no matter what it is, I mean, I had so many mistakes when I was a youngster. It's crazy to think of the things I did. But instead of reflecting on them in a negative fashion, and some of them can definitely be taken as negative, I look at it more of look at where I've come because of that and how I've grown to learn that shouldn't be done, and I can help people get into a better state because of my learnings.
Well, thank you so much for creating the app, and thank you, Mark, for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you as well.
All the best to you. Bye now.
All right. Bye.
Mindful Tribe, thanks for being a listener of the Mindfulness Mode podcast, and thanks for any reviews you've left on Apple or Spotify, any place where you listen to podcasts. I always appreciate the feedback, and with that, take what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.